Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone.
I am
Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We have on with us again today John Three Fingers from the Cheyenne Tribe, and we are going to have others coming on, and we will be talking about the tribal, prison, and racial issues in the United States of America. All previous and current scheduled shows can be found at the Blog Talk Radio Shedding Light website. If you missed yesterday or you missed any before, you can find it on this site and you can replay it, and also the one we're going to be having today. There's a lot going on in this country, and we really need to start addressing these issues that are going on, because everyone complains about the injustices going on in the United States of America, and they complain about the division. They complain about a lot of things, but until you can start addressing them, until you yourselves become verbal and become the leader you should be, not a follower, but a leader, not much can happen. We have people coming on this show that are leaders. They're not worried about what other people are going to say or do, because they know what needs to be done, and that is to unite for justice. So we're going to introduce today, again, and many of you already know, Chinupa Guhamani, and also John Three Fingers from the Cheyenne Tribe. And Chinupa is with the Lakotas out of South Dakota. So Chinupa and John, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you very well.
And Chinupa, can you hear us? Chinupa? Okay, if you can hear us, sign out and come back in again. And John, can you start by introducing yourself once again to the audience and letting them know about you and what you do and what your expectations are of people that really want to see changes made, positive changes?
At this moment, I am heading to bury my brother-in-law. William walks along, and he was instrumental in changing our reservation. He worked on the Clean Air Act, Water Compact Act. We were literally fighting with the states around us for our pollution-free environment. And so when you have Class 1 air like we do, you can see for miles. And so Class 1 air is the best air that you can have on the reservation. It means that there's no smog, there's no pollutants from anywhere. And so we are thankful for Bill for doing that. And right now we're heading to bury him. And this gentleman had 30 years inside the Northern Cheyenne tribal government. He was asked to go to the state. He was asked to go to federal. He was asked to be put in, asked if he wanted to be put in these positions, because he had master's degree, he had, you know, doctorates, but he chose to live on the reservation in poverty. He surrounded himself with good people, but the problem was he did not train another person to take his spot. And so being one person who manages everything and make sure that everything runs well, runs the way it should. When he died, there was no one to replace him. So a lot of our programs will fail because of him. A lot of people that depended on him, that should have picked up the slack, that should have been the director of their program, they would lay their paperwork on his desk, and he would say, add it to the pile. And he would do that because he knew if he didn't do it, no one else would. And so that's the situation I'm in right now. I am starting a landowner association because the Bureau of Indian Affairs, who oversees everything on a reservation, is pretty much our caretaker. And so if they drop the ball, then we have no recourse for anything. And so a lot of our hay, a lot of our water and assets were being stolen, so much so that they measured in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And this has been going on for like 15, 20 years. And before I got started in this association, I was a teacher at St. Libre School. I was an ambulance driver and then went to an EMTI, and then I moved over to the emergency room for 10 years. And so all my life, I've always wanted to help people. And so I put myself in those positions. So one day I went out to the parking lot and I couldn't see. What happened was I had gone blind. Cataracts had started forming in my eyes. And so I didn't know what to do. I knew I had to retire. I couldn't see the screen, computer screen anymore. I couldn't see detail. So I decided that I was going to become an artist. And so that's what I did. I started artworking. I started carving. I started making signs. I started working with epoxy resin. I started doing everything I could to make ends meet. And so a lot of times we had chosen the path that was available to us. And on a reservation, we have 83% unemployment. And when you have that, jobs are very scarce. And so the people who have these jobs, they give them to their daughters and their sons. So some people have never had a job on the reservation. And those people know that they will never have a job on the reservation. And that's terrible. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. And so I myself, after retiring, had to find out, you know, a way to support myself. And so I started artwork. And that's the way I work. I make my ends meet. One day my aunt came up to me and said, "John, we need you to come to this meeting at the tribal building. The people need help." And so she had given me tobacco. And in our culture, when you give somebody tobacco, it's a sacred covenant. You are literally giving them a promise to help them in any way. So if somebody in my culture brought tobacco to you, you are pretty much under an onus to take care of them, to help them in what they needed. So my aunt brought me tobacco and said, "Can you come and sit in on this meeting? We don't know what's going on." So I went down to the meeting, and on one side, there was all these white people. And on the other side, there was all these Native Americans who ran the tribal council. And in the middle were the landowners. And so the tribal council and the white people were talking back and forth. And right in the middle were the landowners who didn't know what was going on. The people were talking over them. They were not listening to them. And it made me so angry that they were disregarded. The people who owned the land, whose resources were being stolen by the tribal council and by these white people, we were not a part of the equation. And that's what made me very angry. We should be the ones deciding ourselves about our financial future, about our financial stability. And so I sat in the meeting, and after that, I decided to start a landowner organization, association. I didn't know how to start one. I didn't know what I was going to do. So the first thing I did, I started researching. I started learning the language of these two entities. And I found out that the Bureau of Indian Affairs was right in with these groups. So I started researching the regulations of the government. I started researching the regulations of the tribal council. And so basically I had to learn the language that these two entities were using. And so that became my Bible, those books that taught you how to do landowner organization, how to do bylaws, how to do a constitution, how to do, you know, an agenda. I learned and memorized Robert Rules of Order. I learned so much about what I needed to do, and I felt alone. And these people that were actively robbing us of these hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of dollars, they didn't like it that I was poking my nose where they thought I shouldn't be. But I had to put myself in harm's way in order to find out the truth. And after people started realizing what I was doing, what I was about, I started getting information from these groups. They were outside of the tribal council, outside of these white people, outside of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And so all the information started coming. I started learning that $83 million was missing. $500,000 was missing. $300,000 was missing, unaccounted for. The tribal council was literally robbing the tribe, and they had become so adamant, so prevalent in their corruption that they assumed we would not do anything. They assumed that the Native American landowners would remain ignorant. And after people started finding out that I was standing up for them, I got threats. I got people driving by. And then I notified the FBI, because all my life I read about strategy. I read about the Book of Five Rings. I read about the Art of War. I read about deceit in battle. And little did I know that these books would become the impetus behind my strategy and my working against these people. And so everything I learned in these books helped me to understand my enemy. And as I learned about my enemy, I realized that each of them had failings. And so I started using their failings against them. So now I have the BIA suing the tribe. I have the tribe suing the Bureau of Indian Affairs. So in the Book of Five Rings, it tells you, let your enemy fight against himself. As they expend their ammunition, you will arrive as they lay on the ground, and you will clean them up. And that's what I've been doing. I've been using them to fight against each other, to expend their ammunition against each other. And I've come to the realization that there are good people on the reservation that want change, that need this to happen. And so even though I am threatened, even though, you know, they may take my life, I'm going to be the dog soldier that I am. My father was the chief society. My mother was a dog soldier war mother. And so we are a matrilineal society. And a war mother, what she does is she conducts ceremonies. She runs sun dances. She runs piercings. So if you ever seen the movie A Man Called Horse and they string him up by his skin, that is what we still do to this day. We hold our ceremonies sacred. We hold ourselves sacred. So imagine being in church 24 hours a day. That is the way we hold ourselves. We try to be as pure, as humble as we can. We don't do anything for glory. We don't do anything for recognition. We do everything for our people. And the definition of a warrior is not someone who fights and kills, but someone who protects and defends. And that's where I end it now.
That's the problem we have in the United States. We don't have a lot of people that are actually trying to defend and help. We have a lot of people that have egos. And when I say ego, I mean E-G-O. They have these egos, and they have their own motives behind a lot of things. And there's a lot of people that complain. They're just not leaders. They're followers. And unfortunately, it's sad. Right now, the board is lit up. Chinupa Guhamani is on with us. And Chinupa, I'm going to let you take over. When you say you're going to put something on, you sure do. The board is lit up. So please, Chinupa Guhamani, introduce yourself to the audience and then have all. I've taken everyone off of mute so everyone can jump in whenever you give them time. Okay? And I want to thank you all for being on. I'll tell you one thing. The Native Indians in this country, they know what it's about. They're fighting for they're fighting for their reputations. They're fighting for their land. They're fighting for their prisoners. They're fighting for a lot of things. And I wish the people in this country would let their egos down, try to humble yourselves, and try to fight for the people that are suffering in this country rather than just picking and choosing who you want to help so that you will be in the media. So, Chinupa Guhamani, to the audience, thank you so much. And I'm going to put myself on mute.
All the way from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, I want to say hokahe again to all of you that are tuned in to our second episode of the way incarceration does our fellow man. And I welcome every one of you, all you callers that are tuning in. I welcome you all. This is going to be a show that's going to be very controversial and heated. So without any further understanding to that, I tell everybody in the listening audience, in Lakota, we say, Wopila Tanka, meaning thank all of you for coming on and participating in today's edification on this show. You know, my brother and my sister, Leona, talked about something about what really is the norm that goes on in Indian country. And so, first of all, let's start it off this way. Indian country is a lateral term that most people cannot see, that it's just a word that describes land that doesn't really belong to the native people, the Caucasian people, and anybody in society that thinks white. Again, white. They think this way, okay? White, on the other hand, you have it in your body, whether it's your eyes, your teeth, your bone, everything, okay? So here's a method that society in general does to control people, and it's capitalistic control because everyone out there, they all understand the use of mammon. Mammon meaning money, okay? Monetary existence. So in Indian country, we try to deem things that are more or less lateral to help our people gain a foothold on protecting their people in general. Okay? The native people, on the other hand, my people, the indigenous people, the Lakota people, the Jikista, the Makhpiatho, the Inanahena, you know, all of these guys with these names that describe who we are. Excuse me. In America, they do call it Indian country because it's under, I think, 18 U.S.C. 11 something. Okay? That's what I read long, long time ago. And that gives clarity to defining our provisional land base. Some people accept it, others like me don't. And I'll tell you why. Because this is how you incarcerate people, by putting them in reservation. A reservation is a prisoner's war camp. A prisoner's war camp. Mine here in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, where I'm calling you all from, is Prisoner War Camp 344, okay? So that crass term that affects everybody in the so-called Indian country, the federal government is the one that dictates the validity of the jurisdiction upon native people, which they can't ever, ever, man, relinquish until you hold them accountable. You see, the freedoms that people have is the ticket. The freedom of independence justify your acronym of means, okay? So in lateral terms of thinking, what is Indian country? The United States government still wants to have a dictatorship by ruling its jurisdiction to make sure that we are contained, okay? That's what a reservation means. All right. So when you're contained to that, there's what they call an assurance of a patent. Patent is what they call it, but it's called pronounced patent, P-A-T-E-N-T, all right? So these mechanisms that give our people the validity to sustain themselves on the reservation, there's no commonwealth here. There's nothing. We're still begging to the system for relief episodes. Relief is what you turn around and call food rations from the 1800s, which latterly became a supplement of food being distributed to people on these said reservations. Now they're called commodities. And even in the major cities, commodities is given out to people. They're rations, basically. But people outside the box can only visualize that because it's a threat mechanism to implement more of the control about your body's health. They don't want you relying on making a garden, going out there and hunting or fishing, freshwater fish and so forth. That's where the medicines are. The medicines are there. So imagine our people living that type of way of life since the beginning of time, since time immemorial, okay? Time immemorial means that we will always be substantial, free and independent if we pick up those methods that belong to us. So now I close that little piece with this because my people have always said this, that the future was going to foretell itself, and the future is. The documentary called Red Cry, people, Red Cry, R-E-D-C-R-Y, Red Cry, had came out in 2013, and it's actively still active. You can watch it on YouTube. If you type in Red Cry, the documentary, you'll find it. This is what the grandmothers here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation were exposing about the deceitfulness of the tribal governments, the federal government, the BIA, and all of these things that deem the validity to serve Native people in a subsequent popular intonement. Okay? So needless to say, a lot of these grandmothers that participated in that documentary are no more. They passed on. And when you watch that, you decide. You decide, people. You decide. And how you deem it to be Indian country. Because every time Native people assert benefit of a doubt in the eyes of the beholder, which is the white race, white man, okay? One of the things that they lack in their own writing, when that patent or petent, like I explained earlier, including a rights of way running through the reservation, okay? All of these major highways in the so-called Turtle Island, which that crash term applies to America, you know, applies to it, we have a right to transport and use them highways freely and independently, okay? But here's America's corporation belittling them virtues. They belittle those virtues because you have to have a driver's license. You have to have insurance. You have to have proof of ownership of your vehicle. That's not the way the system had operated. You go out to Ohio and Pennsylvania, okay? I don't know if a lot of you ever been out there, and there's some that are calling in that are living out there. Go look at the Amish people. They're still cutting around with a team and a buggy, okay? Same with the Mennonite people. This is what's out there. What makes them any different than me as an indigenous person? And he's using those roads freely and independently. But you don't see the law enforcement pulling him over and citing him for some illegalities, proof of ownership, proof of having a driver's license, making sure his team and buggy are registered to him. Duh! This is how the elites do this, because it's capitalistic control. To neutralize you from your freedoms of independence. Hello? 4th of July is known as Independence Day, people. Independence. So we are free to do as we should be doing, helping each other, caring for one another, loving each other, as the way people did it long ago before technology has ever got here. And because of this freedom of independence, there was no jails. There was no prisons. None of this. Corporations created that. They wanted to neutralize people's ability to care for themselves, to love themselves, to share with themselves. Get it? That's how far we have gotten away from being people of the earth. People of the earth. Now, as we speak on these methods of reality that unfold in white America, and people, if you get offended by it, you're guilty. You're guilty. I'm not offended if you call me a blanket ass, a dog eater, or a gut eater, or a savage, or a prairie nigger. I don't get offended of that. That is your language dehumanizing yourself. I'm far greater than that. I'm in my own country. I'm on my own land. My roots are here. I did not come across the water. And my roots will always be here after I'm dead and gone when the great mystery decides to take me home and lay me upon my mother earth. But until then, this attitude, what we care for each other as people struggling to remain free, the original concepts of territorial boundaries is actually vested on the 1840 Act, people, 1840 Act, when there was no state of South Dakota. There was no state of Montana, Wyoming, Nebraska, and North Dakota. None of these five states were ever recognized under the State of Union back in the 1840 Act. This was still indigenous territorial boundary. But our people don't see methods of that. Now, when you had a territory, and we still have the territory intact, we are the only race of people, the indigenous people, forbidden to do what we can do to survive. The white race did this, people, and I say it inclusively. White America, they're all criminals, regardless of how you look at it. And if it offends you, call me after the show, 605-517-2621, and I'll debate that issue with you. They're all criminals when they arrived here. Arrived in these three ships, the Pinta, the Mina, the Santa Maria, and the Mayflower. These were all ex-convicts. Okay? Sent here to create a new world, which they didn't do. You cannot create and recreate the earth, mother. Duh. But the depiction of English concepts, okay? Here's people that were sent over here from prison to create a new world. Instead, they incarcerated the people that didn't do that to them. We indigenous people were the first slaves and the first people incarcerated. And then as lateral terms went on, nobody knows if there was any other walks of life that entered this country back in 1492. I always beg to differ, because there was another group of people Their remnants are still here as offerings. And they were called Asatru, better known as Vikings. They came here, and they seen Turtle Island was already occupied with indigenous people, native people, Indians, whatever you want to call us, First Nations, the real red people. We were here. And so what did the Vikings do? They left their remnants here as an offering. Got on them ships and headed back, and they never came back ever since. White man, on the other hand, keep coming and keep coming. Like a plague of locusts. You see, incarceration has never, ever been something nourishable amongst indigenous people. And let me tell you why. The biggest punishment in indigenous culture was banishment. You can no longer be affected with your tribe. You can never be presented with your tribe. You have to fend outside. You have to fend with the animals. Everything out there. We gave you that. That's a prison sentence. In lateral terms, because we're all understanding indigenous thought and philosophy, but it's still a world controlled by men. And I say it again, everyone that thinks that they have a civil disobedience and all these civil rights, you're a stupid person. They give the civil rights movement to people of color. They gave it to them. Dr. Martin Luther King's a prime example. They give it to them, and the minute they gave it to them, they're finding ways to take it back. My God, white man, what is wrong with you? This is what they do. They make people beg for something you already have. And that's the hard part to let go. How do you dehumanize your thought processes from understanding the words in English? How do you do that? How do you cultivate that? How do you get rid of it? How do you stop assimilation? How do you decolonize your body of the English conscience? Imagine this, people. My African people are here in my country. They belong to me. The indigenous people, they belong to us. We intermarried with them. So some of the black people in my country have my blood, indigenous blood. I don't care if they're Choctaw, Chickasaw, Cherokee. It's written and recorded there in the Nile of indigenous rivers. Nile of indigenous rivers. Don't ever forget the Choctaw people saving the black race. And it's called crossing the Bakchido. Don't forget that, people. A little Indian girl took a little black boy and saved him and brought his whole family to safety with the indigenous people. That's recorded. That's why it's called crossing the Bakchido. Knowing your enemy's mind is your key to your freedom and future. Now I say this, and I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from everyone how angry you are about how I am. My passion always gets the best of me, and I love it. The great mystery made me who I am through my mom and my father. And I was 8 years old when the white man took my daddy from me. And the white man, in his terms, made me a bastard. I grew up without a dad, but I had a grandfather to raise me. That's what the white man did to me. Took my father from me. So I close with this part right here. Mitakie pile chalakis e wichokan kile tchokata kya ichpewa. Wichoye kile tchankikya o bluspe he un milahanska tcha wichoye ki he kacholyewa. Ash nus nonji. Wakhanskanka ki chi manetu na unchi makhaki. Na wamak haskan lena atiha woki wa unspeki lena ospema kiapi naha owashke makupi. Heun nahakti chanteogna kima e chaganake etaha wichashi ogna waka wahina zikile hechuns e wichoye ogna hoatai. Hohe me chanupagulaha money me hechuns e hoatai. Ho yung khan wana petukile chante washte taku lena oyate chipi na wasloi kilena you hawk the hunter. Takomani wosu takilet hokata kya yachpenaha. Taku hena anik kwaka okile. Doani wakhatanka kichi mane tuna uchi makhaki naha. Wamak haska hena toni ektu zabsnio. Hechano mitaki epishicha walaka okte. Na yache okte. Hey young kids to. Me na haksi shuka kilena optu. Yok pivise naha. Tokyo iblable hena isha opha. Unkomanipi. Hena tewakila. Ushiwichoke. Shunka mitoke. Hena isha wakampi. Ash lila ota wak sapekile ableza bokibsni. Shunka ki hena wakantanka he e. Ash techia wichak. Aku hena yuhapsniki ata. Techia ata ayapkhana ha. Waktakakile ata nush and lechus ichanopi. Hena washteshni mitaki bi akin yecha hena. Na yutku hesin si tkawu guna gnechu o apche wunji ata yutiz nazina ho eta shuka kilina ata techea wichakwa. Hena washteshni as hena niepi. Ulak hotab na wamak khashkan kilina wak hanki he ois papi. He un taku le chalakis e wochi chakau kilila koto guna hena yanke. Na itushi kat Isan trokita kya gile. Trokata kile wak sapi gile yacho ki. Waman kashkan hechus e wanko. Hena ni. Kitu e piki hena yanke. As tueni hena hechus e woyuk tanki. Yuk taksi. O tea che mila hanska. O apche gile umpi. Ho. Takwe hechus e wichok e gina he. I wak la ke gile. Matue gile yanke. Unchi mitra ki te wakila. No wakhanka kichi mane tu he khachanke mitkhaki waku toske he kuta ke oma ke tiki ichinka hechuse wa bobe ke he oma ke ho he nus obluspe taku hena wakhanki ai kraki hena epi choaste lechus e wana wichoy mitkhaki thokata ke wakhbe kile e wagnake cho wakhbe he nozi hanta Takomani washte taku wakhan hena okhlati yankte ki hei chakhikte. Uchi makhaki lena inshan wujud khaka hena hechus en kakapi. Mini ki hei kuta ki yani chakhya bhanta taku kash kakpi yankte. E hani hechus e tonkashi lana uchi mitkhaki naha ina mitkhaki na ate waki lena aati ha osbema ke. Woo lakhota. Dua hechus e oispinkte hanta lakhota I chaje hennu hakte. Chamitroki, chanupa, guloha mani, hohe. Lila ota wichoikile yaglunipi. Wasloikile yaglunipi. As inihas nitrokata kileti nus nozi. Ma lakhota. Titista hemacha na mashika. Hena weki yamani guloha. Hohe matueki he yanke. Naha wasloikile na ehani oyate mitroki kaunspe makyab. He un nahakti nus obluspe. Tha chanki mitroki le taku hena uspe makyab. He obluspe chante ogna. Ho niwa un. Chokata ni un kunkte hanta. Woke ki le na epi. Champetu ki le hoa tanki le na chichupi mitaki epi. Doni taku woa kanki le yushnapsnyo. He chano ki yache okte. Na shicha walako. Wo wakhanki le otachi le na unkubshni. He yagle yonkte na hatkhokata kya chankulu ta ogna unkomani bhanta unchi makhankata glitches in nus unkina jibi. Ho hena wo ki hena yanke. Chai trusika lila ota wanspe ki le vnachon piki wopi la tkhanki e chicha. Ho, mitaki epi. Let's open up the callers. Come on in. You have some tremendous virtue and vocabulary you want to share? Come on in, people. I want to hear from you. Come on.
Yeah. This is 964-7225, and I'm calling from Cheyenne River. I have a problem with the weakness of our government. And then on the roundabout way, I feel that, now, again, I'll tell you again, I'm not educated, but it doesn't take a smart man to realize if they're being stepped on or not. But this government that I'm talking about is, they did something the other day that I just dislike very much. And that's trying to, in fact, the council awarded this guy 1,500,000 acres to run outside cattle. Well, we already got a place down east of Cheyenne River, or the Eagle Butte here, Cheyenne River tribal office. Down east, about 40, 50 miles, there's 200,000 acres there. Or maybe it's not that big, but it's all cut out for, it was at one time buffalo pasture. Someone stole the buffaloes, killed them. No money came back to the tribe. Replaced them with outside cattle. We don't know who's running cattle there, but it's the treasure that for the Cheyenne River Sioux tribe. He started all this problems here, under the table stuff. But we just kind of look back. We don't do that. We don't point fingers at these kind of people. But I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, we are not responsible to take care of the white man's baby. Why this tribe does that, I have no idea. I remember when I left this reservation, I worked off the reservation about 15 years. I worked on the cow outfit down east. In fact, it's the same place I'm talking about. But I moved away from here because there was no jobs again. I'm 82 years old, and I'm not educated. Not like some of these guys that got on the phone and called and the radio, I mean. I'm not nearly as smart. But I see all this stuff, all this under-the-table stuff. You know, here with 15 below zero riding horseback, and that there, ladies and gentlemen, is no lie. They talk about cowboys here. They have no idea what a cowboy is, you know. But this was all, I'm a tribal member. I'm over half. And I love my people. It seemed like this under-the-table stuff and operating was always against the Lakotas. But do you know that this land that keeps the white man busy and rich is the Lakota land? And this is what the council does for them. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go around the corner and do other things. Because, which I don't care what they do, but they better leave all this land alone. I'm so angry with starting to talk about it. I don't know. But I was the only one that I got up and left. I'm not bragging or tooting my own horn. I got up and reminded these people that we are treaty people, protected by the treaty, signed by the Washington big shots there to protect us. It says that there's no outsiders can come and interfere with our land. Well, the chairman even was there, and he said, no, it's a done deal. Well, I don't think he's shaking the right tree, if you know what I mean. He approved of all this. This guy don't know a cow from a billy goat, you know. But we've got to understand that this is little stuff. Years gone by, these white people been passing themselves off as Indians. But now we got the DNA here. Push it. Every tribe should make them push it. Get some real people here, real Lakotas or whatever. But DNA will tell the story. Like the council, we got a bunch of white guys there. And before that, too, years back, there was a few of them in there. They were whiter than Mr. Clean. but they don't know. They don't even know who their daddy is. They're claiming to be Indians. Well, they could tell that to my dog outside, but not me. But I was telling the young, I was up there at the tribal office early this morning. But we got to make sure that our little ones, when they get out of school, high school, there's money, higher education funds for them. But they don't get involved with this. Ladies and gentlemen, they do not get involved with this office, because this is Lakota country. These are Lakota people, children, that are getting out of high school, and they need higher education funds to start to help them. But these funds are already taken by our council, white people. That is damn sure the truth, and that everything, every time that a program comes up, there's always white people involved. They let out the real eligible people out. Lakotas, it's made for Lakotas. That's what we pay these guys a high price, to protect us, protect our rights. Hell, our people are living in, what do they call them, bingo halls and stuff. And corners, it's bad. But in the houses that's supposed to be made for the Indian people are filled with white people. How do you like that? Nothing's being said. They just give them a tent even to live in. So check it out. But I'm for one, I'd like to see that DNA put across this reservation. Make them, if they're running for council, they should make them take that test to prove they are who they are. But that's all. There's so much here. I'm just going to back on out and let somebody else cry a little bit. And I've done enough crying. So thank you.
And thank you for that, for coming on. That's the grandfather from Cheyenne River speaking his truth. Come on in, people. Come on. Your call. Your talk. Come on in, people.
How's everybody doing? Well, my name is Brother Hess, and I'm calling in again tonight because, man, I love y'all, man. And, you know, man, I sit where I sit at, you know, and I understand what it's like to be caged. You know, I understand what it's like to be away and to be hidden. You know, man, I tell the people this because my grandmother is Osa. She's Native American. My father is black, and my mother is Caucasian white. And God allowed me, the grandfather allowed me to be raised up biracial, multiracial, for a reason. And so I want to speak this truth because I want the people who are black and who are white to understand what our Lakota tribe is going through. You know, for those that don't know the history about the Lakota and the Nakota, how they was living on their own land, right next to the rivers, right next to the streams, right next to the place where they could be able to utilize the land, to utilize the access, you know what I mean, to be able to travel through the river stream, to be able to have access to everything that they needed. They was pushed off this land and moved into the area where it's desolate. Now you got a place called Highway 80 that truckers don't even want to ride up. And they know that this land is unusable. They know this land is unlivable. They know there's nothing up there. And so nobody want to go up there with their products. Nobody want to go up there with their trucks. Nobody want to go and travel through there in order to be able to see the sights, because it's hard to get out. You know, when I began to study what was going on in the dynamics that these white people, for a better lack of terminology, have done to whip the same crap on the backs of these Native American, what we call our indigenous tribe of the Lakotas, Dakotas, and the Nakotas, the same thing that they did to our black folks. You understand where I'm coming from? They did the same thing, and they did it psychologically, not just physically. You understand? When they took them away from them streams, when they took them away from them access to good land, when they took them away from having access to all around the regions of these United States of America and Canada, they pushed them over here. And then what they did, they sent them to these schools, these boarding schools, to make them cut their hair, to change their dynamics, to change their culture, their heritage, their bloodline. They didn't take their blood out of them, but they took the fear and brought it into them to be able to be proud of what it is that run through their bloodline. You understand where I'm coming from? And I continue to peel the onions back and study what happened to the Lakota tribe. When I got up and I teamed up with my brother Eric Bringswhite, and I began to find out back in 2012 and 13 that the children on the Pine Ridge Reservation was committing suicide and had suicide attempts larger than any other place in America. So I began to go on Google, and I began to study even more, and I then found out that the Pine Ridge Reservation is the most brokest, most torn, most desolate place in America. And they've been knowing this for 20, 30 years. Well, I'm telling y'all this because I've been working and I've been researching, I've been studying about the Lakota tribe and the Pine Ridge Reservation and Wounded Knee. I've been studying about this. Well, these people been doing this ever since 1890 when they took revenge on this tribe. They took revenge because the people killed one of their generals because the general was trying to push them over here into this desolate land, trying to take away their ability to do the sun dance. And it's like, you're going to take away my culture, my heritage? You're going to take away the Mother Earth from me? From me being able to indoctrinate myself if I don't go to your boarding school or your churches? Like, where do they do that at? They did it in Africa. They did it in every place where they have laid their hands to take away what is most precious to us. That's our identity and the resources of our land. And so I'm just asking America to wake up. Wake up and remember the 1890 massacre that happened in Wounded Knee. Remember what happened in 1973. Understand that the AIM movement started right here in their stand to take back what's been taken from them. And so when you go on YouTube, when you go on these different places, look up the American Indian Movement. Y'all go out there, and I'm asking y'all right now to look up about Leonard Peltier. And if you got any type of love in your heart, this man been locked up almost 50 years for a crime he didn't commit. If you're willing to, go online and find Senator Cory Booker, Senator Dick Durbin, Senator Alex Padilla, and U.S. Representative Maxwell Frost. If you don't know about it, then you can go to the website, freeleonardpeltiernow.org. Man, we asking y'all to start calling in, man. This man needs medical attention now. He needs to be moved to a medical facility just like they did Jameer Alameen and many of the other prisoners whose family and loved ones stood up as a culture, as a race, as a nation. And it's time for this man to be released from prison. If they don't want to take care of him, they need to release him. That's his constitutional right according to their constitution. Last but not least, the only thing that I want to say, y'all, is that, man, when we begin to do the history, we do his story. We do his story. We learn his story. And when we understand his story, we put ourselves in his shoes. The only way that we can begin to mend the weakest link is if we go to the places and must inhabit those places where they're saying that it's the worst. And we got to build it back up piece by piece, person by person. We know that the biggest thing that we're dealing with up in the Pine Ridge Reservation is addiction to drugs, alcoholism. And we know that these illnesses are affecting the people, so we got to get into the people's lives. We know that it's almost 70% children on the Pine Ridge Reservation. So we got to get into these children's lives, and we got to give them a new light to look at. We got to give them a new hope to hope for. We got to give them a new faith to believe in, to remove their fears and their doubts. They have to know that their investment is real. Yeah, it's going to be hard, but you were built for it tough. If God brought you to it, and then the grandfather going to see you through this fight. Yeah, it may be tougher than any other fight in this land that we call the Americas, but I tell you, it's worth it. And we was built tough enough for it. And so I want us all to straighten our backbone up, open our minds up, and get our eyes set on the prize of what needs to be done in order to overcome what they think they done tore down, because they ain't do nothing to give us a position to build it up. I love y'all very much, man. I wish y'all many peace and blessings, love and service.
Hey, before you go, Brother Hess, can you give us that website one more time and maybe the spelling with it, please?
Website one more
Free
time.
Leonard Peltier.
FreeLeonardPeltierNow.org.
FreeLeonardPeltierNow.org.
Yes, sir, thank you so much, beloved brother. Peace and blessings.
All right. Hey, spell it out for me if you don't mind. Do you have it in front of you?
It's F-R-E-E, then the name Leonard, L-E-O-N-A-R-D, last name Peltier, P-E-L-T-I-E-R, and now, N-O-W. And that's at .org, free Leonard Peltier now .org. Peace and blessings to the family.
Appreciate it. I'm checking it out right now. Thank you.
If there's
other callers on the show,
come on. We got a few minutes before we close.
I want to let everybody know something. In Massachusetts, our new governor, Maura Healey, is going to be releasing thousands of prisoners who are behind the bars on marijuana charges. This is going to, as she said, this will be the first state that has released thousands of prisoners in for marijuana. So everybody start calling the legislative members and letting them know Massachusetts is releasing thousands of prisoners for marijuana usage. They need to get on the ball and do the same. Just to let you know.
Come on, callers. Express your feeling.
There's one 646 that was on mute. 646, I just took you off of mute. All the others have been off mute, so jump in, like I said, whenever Chinook is ready, when he talks, then you're ready to speak, okay? 646, I'm sorry to have had you on mute, but you were way down at the bottom and there's so many callers, I didn't know you were down there. But anyway, if you have something to say, please say what you need to.
Yeah, I just the only thing I would say, this is Brother Mike X from New York City. I just, you know, whenever our good brother has, you know, puts out a call, I strive to arrive. I would ask all people of goodwill, you know, to link up at this time, to do the knowledge, to educate yourself, to, you know, speak up. You know, it seems like things are incredibly dark, and they are. The powers that be, they don't have any particular plan of prosperity for us, and we have to learn how to fend for ourselves. You know what I mean? We got to believe in ourselves. We got to believe in each other. We got to begin to strive to pump up the best of what humanity has to offer, of what our creator of whatever particular spiritual pathway calls us to be, and, you know, continue to strive. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you say the name of Leonard Peltier, it's like, I'll be 55 tomorrow, you know? And I first heard the name Leonard Peltier when I was in my early 20s. You know, it's been over 35 years. You know, and when you sit back and you just imagine, you know, someone's freedom being taken away because of their politics, because their politics don't jive with the mainstream politics, it's just a lot to strive to fathom, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's all I have to say tonight, man. I just hope that a lot of people will, you know, not normalize ignorance, not normalize being afraid to speak out. And the truth is all we have, you know. If we don't learn the truth and speak the truth, there's nothing else that we have.
I want to thank the brother. I want to thank you in solidarity. I want to thank you for coming on. And we need more people coming on just like you, just like Brother Hess. And Chinupa Guhamani has been trying to bring us all together, so that we can start addressing these issues. And we need to let our brothers and sisters know out there, whatever race they are, if they want to see changes, they need to become a leader, not the followers that they seem to be. Because when people like you come on, I admire it. I admire it. I give you a lot of credit. I give all of you that are on this air right now with Chinupa and myself, I give all of you credit, because that's what we need, is strong leaders. We got so many whiners in this country, so many people that whine about nothing. If they had to go through what the people in the Middle East are going through, or the Native Indians went through, or the African Americans went through, being brought over from our motherland, if they had to go through all of this, they would be on here right now. But a lot of them had never had to go through this kind of injustice. But when our own can't come on, there's something wrong. Al Sharpton sitting at the CNN with his nation politics can't use his platform for some of these kind of issues we're talking about right now. He all of a sudden became too big for it. And we have others out there like National Action Network, like Black Lives Matter, like NAACP. Where are they? Chinupa Guhamani, I want to thank you too. I want to thank you for bringing this together. At least we have one leader that's bringing it together. And I thank my brothers for coming on. Every one of them, black, brown, red, and beige, any one of them that come on to show their strength. These weak people out there that are trying to gain for their own motives make me sick. I'm going to put myself on mute again because I can't stand myself when I get carried away like this.
Is there a call coming in from a phone number 801? Are you on there?
There is an 801.
All right, put him on one.
801, if you are able to speak, please do. If you're not, if you can hear us and you can't come through, just disconnect and come back in again. Sometimes it's difficult when people try to talk and they can't, they're not being heard. So if you're not being heard, disconnect and come back on again. I'm going to try muting and unmuting and see if that works. 801. No.
I'd like to say some if I could real quick. This is John Three Fingers
from the
Northern Cheyenne Reservation. When I was very young, they would take me over to my grandmother's, and there was five of us. She was a storyteller, and she would tell us stories every morning, but she would tell them in a certain sequence. So I found out that she was training us to be storytellers. So she would tell us these 200 stories and during the day, and she would tell them every day in this sequence. So we knew which stories were coming after next. Some of the oldest stories that she told us was the time before there was a moon. And that's how we passed our history down. And so for that story to exist, there had to be a time before there was a moon. And so I want to talk about tradition and culture. We still practice our traditions and cultures here. We still do the Sundance where we fast for four, sometimes 5 days. We take ourselves to the edge of death in order to learn things that you cannot learn from books. You have to subjugate yourself at these extremes in order to really know who you are as a person, in order to know what you're capable of. And so these cultures and these traditions still exist here. Magic still exists here on the reservation. And so I am writing a book of these 200 stories in order to help my people, in order to get them recognized. We live with military societies on the reservation. One of the oldest societies we had was a secret society. And if you ever did anything in the tribe that got you banished, that was so heinous that you could not live with us, this society would allow you to cross three rivers, any direction. When you cross those three rivers, then they went after you. And no matter how long it took, they caught you. And they cut you up and they spread you into the four directions. That is what was the deterrent for us. We didn't have no laws. We didn't have this and that. We punished you with death. And so we still have piercings. We still have sun dances. And we still fast for 4 days on hills. And so we don't have, you know, Thanksgiving. We don't have Valentine's Day. We don't have Christmas. We practice our own traditions here. We keep them alive, and we keep them existent. And so for the longest time, Natives were not allowed to vote because many states that had Native populations in them wrote these laws saying if you're not a taxpayer, you could not vote. And so when you lived on a reservation, you didn't vote because you weren't allowed to. And so we had no voice for the longest time. And so we need a voice now. And so we're learning how to be that voice. And so Chinupa is a great man. He has set me on this path. And a lot of times in your life, you are given these choices of paths. And so I am on this path right now. Whatever happens, happens. And we, as Native Americans, we accept that. We don't dilly-dally. We don't waffle. We go straight on to what needs to be done. And that's what all I have right now. Thank you.
John Three Finger, do you want to let the audience know about your book, where they can find it to purchase it?
I'm still writing it right now. I got 130 stories down. I'm going to finish it at maybe 240. But when it comes out, my email is medbird1, M-E-D-B-I-R-D, number1@hotmail.com. So just send me your link, and when it gets done, I will send you where to get it. And I have a friend who's written two books already. He is helping me on Amazon. He's already been a publisher. He's been published. And his only advice to me was write the damn thing. And so I am writing the damn thing. And so that's where I'm at right now. But as soon as it gets written, it'll be out there. And I'll tell you a secret of the name. The name is called Ghost Dancer. That is going to be the name of the book.
Ghost Dancer.
Right on, yeah. Man, right.
Okay, that's all I got right now.
Okay, thank you. 801, can you hear us? 801? Chinupa, it could be somebody just listening with that number, the first three. I don't know, the last two are 42.
David, are you on? Come on in, David. Brother David, come on in.
Might be somebody else listening in. It's 801. It's an 801 number, but it's the last two numbers are 42. Oh, wait a minute. We got another call in here. 646, you want to state your name, please?
No, that's Brother Mike Dex again. I'm just listening in right now.
Okay, I want to say John Three Finger or anybody else that writes books, do me a favor, write a book on dream catchers. Okay, so 801-615.
That's me. That's Kyle. Thank you.
Okay, Kyle, you wanna say something too?
I got so many thoughts, but I really, since this show began yesterday, or since I heard about it yesterday, I've been trying to listen. I've been trying to soak up. I feel like the least informed person on any of the subject matter, and not on mine. That's what I came here for, to get it, you know, to get up to speed. But I almost don't know enough to even ask the right questions. But what's on my mind as I've heard every person talk, we're all leaders. We are all here because we can't ignore the realities that most people can. So I'm trying to figure out, how do I make it so that when I talk to people about this stuff outside of here, you know, which is coming here to get the knowledge to take it outside of here, how do I encourage people to care? How do I move people to care? Because I don't need them to hear about the state of incarceration and say, oh, that's terrible, or oh, you're doing good work, man. I need them to stop and treat it like a car crash. Anybody ever ever had a car crash, like, while you're driving? You see somebody else have a car wreck while you're driving, and you have to stop? I need people to react with that sense of emergency. And I think that I'm very far away from getting that power, that magic. So that's what's on my mind as I'm listening.
I'm glad you're asking. I'm going to put myself on mute because this is a question that all of you on the show, Chinupa starting, this is a subject that all of you know about, all of you, and can talk about it. Everybody's been in that situation. So I'm going to put myself on mute again.
Okay, if 801 is on, come on in, man, 801. And then we're going to answer this question here.
Okay. This is David.
Well, come on in, David.
I appreciate the words that have been spoken here. I've been up Pine Ridge several times and seen the trauma that has been caused by the occupation up there. But I notice another trauma that has happened too, and that is a trauma within the cultural and the mind of the people. There are many who have tried to live in modern society and adopt that culture. There have been many who have tried that culture and then almost given up because they don't come back to the traditions and the customs that there once were. And so there's this prison of mind that must also be broken. We all struggle in life, and that is just one of the hardships in life. If it wouldn't be one thing, it would be another. But I think one of the things that most impresses me is no matter what our tradition is, whatever our culture is, if we go back to the roots of that culture and see what the original was, we can all become unbound within our own minds and our own spirits and realize that we have to come back to the great mystery. And we have to realize that our spiritual foundations are what makes us who we are. And many people don't do that. They've become lost, and as a result, they are lost not only spiritually but physically and mentally also, with the unemployment as it is, there is a reaching across cultural lines that has not been dealt with either. And so there, with all the many struggles that we are fighting or that we are attempting to break, one of the greatest things is the spiritual side of things, and we have to come together. And the only way that we can come together is under the great mystery. No matter what name a person calls the great mystery, we all have to come together and realize that we are one blood. And that we are.
They didn't come back here at 5 to 4, and they haven't come back. And I was just wondering if your mother took off with them or what.
Sorry, there's somebody, I guess, unmuted there.
David, we can hear you. I'm going to mute. I think it's on Chinupa's side. He's talking to somebody.
Okay.
Finish what you were saying. Everybody's listening in. The board is still lit up.
Thank you. We need to come together and realize that we are all one flesh and all one blood, and stop with the harsh tones that we give against each other, and realize that we are one under the great mystery. And that's all I have to say, is we just need to release our bondage in our minds and in our spirits and realize where the oneness has got to come from. Thank you.
Thank you. Chinupa, that was David from 801. I don't know if you're expecting somebody else to come on with the
801. No. David was the one that I contacted, and I'm grateful that he did come on.
Okay.
The other noise that he had was the grandfather from Cheyenne River. That's what I heard, too. But that's all right. He was probably yelling at one of his grandkids or somebody at his home. But listen, is there any other callers out there? Come on in before we get down to the final task of our show. And hopefully Leona can give us another day in the upcoming few days to talk more of this stuff, because it's drawing a lot of publicity. A lot of understandings come about, even from our brothers from different states. I mean, I'm grateful for this. I mean, this is what we started, to have an open dialogue about the current situations that are unfolding in Indian country. And I'm only using that a term to describe it because, hey, that's what the federal government labeled it as, Indian country, but they don't act on it. And that's the point that a lot of people – go ahead.
I was going to say we have 801, we have 646, we have 404, of course we have 605, I believe that's you, 615, 2406. Anyone have anything to say? We have 12 more minutes, Chinupa.
Well, I mean, if you just want us to come back in now, this is Brother Hess calling out of Georgia. I definitely got a lot more to say, but I don't want to take up, the elder's time for the elder to speak. I want to be respectful, but I'm fired up about what's going on, and I definitely want to educate the people.
Well, feel free to speak. And Chinupa, you had mentioned having another show. If you want, every Friday, Saturday, whatever, I don't have a problem with that. I want to let everybody know, too, on April 2nd, I'm going to be having there's going to be a lot of people coming on. What we're trying to do is get an international a network going, conference, to talk about all these issues that you're talking about today and other issues that are going on in this country, but also the prison system, to talk about the mass incarceration and what it's like for other countries, the guidelines that they have, the programs that they have, the way they treat individuals. As a lot of them have said, they treat the prisoners like human beings. They respect the prisoners, and they get respect back. And so these are the issues that we were going to be talking about on an international level. And I think, Chinupa, I think I told you that I had planned on sending you an invitation, too, to come on as well, because we're going to have people from London, Belgium, Amsterdam. We're going to have people from North Carolina. We're going to have people from the United States and also other countries that are going to come on. These are all professional activists and advocates. Even some of them doing advocacy work in the U.S. prisons for the U.S. prisoners, where we have people in this country that don't do anything for their own people in prison. So just put it on your calendar, April 2nd, and it's going to be at 2 o'clock our time, Eastern time.
Okay.
And it's going to be everybody can call in. We're going to be setting a time and a date for this international conference. It will be virtual. So it'll be a Zoom meeting, but it's going to address everything that's going on in the United States. And these people from abroad are going to be talking about ways that this country can change its ways to make it more in sync with other countries.
So brother, Leona, real quick, can I, is the brother still on that has a birthday today?
Somebody have a birthday today?
Yeah, there was a brother on that saying today was his birthday.
No, tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday.
Okay, tomorrow's your birthday. So brother, if Leona gives us another show tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I want to do something special for you on your birthday, if that's okay, Sis Leona.
Okay, well.
Okay, so 3
tomorrow,
o'clock tomorrow it is. So go right ahead, brother from Georgia.
Okay, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, that's Mountain Time. Okay, it'll be 5 o'clock It'll be 5 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. It'll be 3 o'clock Mountain Time. And anybody in between or on the West Coast, it'll be, I don't know where all of you are from, but for those of you on the East Coast, it will be at 5 o'clock. Mountain Time will be at 3 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock Pacific.
All right, brother from Georgia, come on in.
You called me Elder.
Yeah, the brother from Georgia. Come on.
Okay, Georgia.
Peace and blessings, love and service, man. It's brother, man. You know what I'm saying? I just want to say, man, you know, I would really, man, and salute the brother Mike X, man. That's my beloved brother, man, if I don't get no other. You know what I mean? Straight out the trenches of New York, man. This brother done worked with juveniles. This brother done worked on the front line with addicts and alcoholics, man. This brother stay on the front line. We call him the ignorance killer. He killing all ignorance and everything that we ignore, he's bringing it back out. And just like Sister Leona, he's shedding light upon it. And so I just want to send a salute to that brother. I'm going to be here live for that brother's birthday party tomorrow, man, since our beloved elder just put that into effect and our beloved Sister Queen just acknowledged that, man. So the only thing I wanted to say, man, is this right here. Start taking time out, man, to find a reason to care more. And the way that we do this is we begin to invest in the things that other people say that we are not supposed to. You know, I used to love Pop's movement because when me and Brother Eric Brings White got together with the brothers and sisters across America, Chicago came in on board, New York came in on board, Tennessee came in on board, Texas came in, we had the cats out in California, even a white lady from Chico, California, Sister Julia, I'll never forget her, just as soft and nice. Matter of fact, she passed away because she brought a black lady into her home out of a homeless shelter because she wanted to do right by her. Her white husband came home and began to beat her in the head because she had that black lady and she died from a concussion. God rest her soul, Sister Julia. Sister Julia told me about this this story. Sister Julia put a big old mountain on this postcard and she sent it to me. She say, "Hess, this is about our true indigenous people." She say, "Hess, you remind me of the indigenous people and their ways through the rites of passage." And I said, "Well, can you tell me what you mean by that?" So she told me a story. She said, the indigenous people up here in Northern California, what they used to do, they used to send the children, the little boys between the ages of 11 and 13 years old up on this mountain right here that I took you a picture of. And they could not come down off of this mountain until they found a name. See, they had to go in search of their name. And once they stayed up on that mountain 3 days, 6 days, 10 days, afraid, but also facing their fears and going in search, then it was no wonder when they seen that goat by the stream that they became, you know what I'm saying, a ram water. Why? Because when they came back to the tribe, they had to tell of their spiritual experience that led to them earning that name and now being able to be depended upon from their tribe with that name. And so what are you saying that to say, Hess? Like, she changed my whole perspective on my rites of passage. She said, "Hess, Pop's movement is a rites of passage, and you fire the people up, and you give them the willingness and the spirit to go out and earn their name." And I didn't understand what she meant totally and completely. But then people started coming to me. They say, Brother Hess, I want you to listen to this song right here. And I want to dedicate this song to the Pine Ridge Reservation today. It's a dude, it's a rapper named Big Sean. And he got this song out called One Man Can Change the World. But, you know, Imam Jamil Al-Amin had a story about one man. And I want y'all to walk with me through this. I was looking at a video on YouTube today about the Pine Ridge Reservation, and it was talking about this white doctor that got moved away from one good hospital to another good hospital, and they ended up putting him up there in the Pine Ridge. And he began to molest the young boys. And they kept him up there after he was caught, and he molested more boys. And in the end, what it became is this sick, excuse my French, I want to call him a cracker so bad. I want to call him white trash. I want to call him a hunky. I want to call him a cracker because I feel like he was using his whip to crack on the backs of anybody that he viewed as less than him. But anyway, I'm going to call him a good Caucasian white man that has some real messed up issues in the mind. But he got put up here around these poor, impoverished people of the indigenous tribe that we call the Lakota. And this man sat there and used these young boys who we knew didn't have a father in their life. Their mother may have been on alcohol or drugs. And he would pick them out and get them to come to his yard and work in his yard and then sneak them into his house. Well, one of the young boys rode into a man and he called from a prison and told on the man. He let it be known what the man had been doing. And I'm saying that because, man, all of us, you know, I was molested when I was a child. And I didn't understand why an old man or an old woman would ever victimize a young child. But I found out that sick people try to find the ones that ain't got no mama. My mama was on crack. She was out in the street prostituting, man. I never saw my mama maybe but twice a year. My daddy was dead. My daddy, you know what I'm saying? You know, I never saw him a day in my life. And so I was out there by myself. And that's what is going on. They have secluded the Pine Ridge Reservation in order for it to come depleted, dilapidated, and desolate of hope. And so it's time for us to begin to come together, use our voices, and begin to now bring voice to these people who they think are victimizing us. And like the elder said about that, man, listen, man, it need to be some young people, man, teamed up with me, man. We'll go out there. We'll find out who using all them acres of land to run their cattle, because we'll start eating the cattle. We'll start chopping them things up, no disrespect, and we'll start eating beef for dinner. Instead of eating these chickens and eating all these old vegetarian dinners, we're going to be eating more beef on the Pine Ridge Reservation than any other reservation around there. Because if you want to run these cattle up here through our land, we finna eat them. If you want to put them in the place where our buffalo was at, we going to eat them. Why? Because you ain't got no business running no cattle up through here unless you ask our people. If you're going to utilize our land, give us some of the payoff and let it help people some hope to come back in here. And I'm not asking nobody to do no crime. I'm not promoting nobody to do nothing that I wouldn't do. I'm just telling you the truth. That's probably why I'm isolated in Georgia right now, because of my mind and the way I think. I think a little bit outside the box, y'all. Please forgive me. But in closing, I want to say this on a sincere level. You know, growing up with parents that was addicted to drugs and did not take care of me, it made me go out and start taking care of myself. At first, I felt like a victim in life. I felt like every child that was on the reservation that tried to commit suicide, because I tried to commit suicide, I felt like I was not important to anybody. And I went through that stage of addiction. I started medicating the pain by getting on alcohol and drugs myself, following my mama straight into the streets, trying to find a father that I never knew. And I ended up finding myself a killer, locked up in prison with life. And it was only then that I began to wake up and look up and ask the great-grandfather in the sky to give me guidance and help. And the thing that the grandfather told me, he said, Brother Hess, I'm going to bring you up, but you got to show your people the way out. The way out of what? I'm going to go in prison for the rest of my life if I don't have to go to the death chamber. And I felt the spirit of the grandfather tell me, show them the way out of insanity. You have to bring their sanity back. You have to bring the love back. They are numb, and they are medicating their pain. We don't need to understand why people do what they do. We need to understand what they need as far as help, guidance, and love. We got to love the hell out of our people. With that being said, man, I thank y'all elders for coming in and educating us. I thank y'all so much for supporting our elders, man. I'll see y'all tomorrow, man. Peace and blessings. Love
Brother
and service
Hess,
to the family.
Brother Hess, I want to tell you, I started advocating for the incarcerated because I relate to what you were saying about your being molested, being everything you went through. I'm fighting for it myself with my own loved one. So I understand exactly what you're saying. And I'm going to tell you, I give you credit. I admire you for coming on this show and for talking about it because a lot of people in prison, we're not, your situation, my loved one, it's not isolated. There's a lot of people in prison that have gone through exactly the same thing, and we need to fight for them as well. So I want to thank you for bringing all of that up. Tomorrow, be back. Chinupa, I'm going to let you close, but tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, 5 o'clock Mountain Time, it'll be... Brother Hess, it'll be the same time as our time on East Coast, so 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, and I hope you will come. Thank you all for listening
you.
In. Chinupa, if you can close, and I'm going to put myself on. Thank you so much.
Yes, I will close, and brothers and sisters that are all tuned in today, hey, Wopi Latanka Ichichap, it's a big thank you in Lakota for coming on. And here's what we're going to do, man. I'm going to close it off with a song that some of you remember, and if somebody doesn't remember it, you'll remember this part. And here's our closing song, and we'll see you all tomorrow night at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Mountain Time to another show of great prosperity and dignity and anger out of love. So here's our closing song. We chow hunky lay, hey ya, walk on your loyal. Ay, 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 hey, oy, with your hunky lay, hey, ya, walk on your loyal, ay, 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 hey, ay, oh, ya, take it lay, with your hunky lay, hey, ya, walk on your loyal, ay, 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 hey, oy. With your hunky lay, hey, walk on your loyal, ay, 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 hey, oy. With your hunky lay, hey, walk on your loyal, ay, 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 hey, ay, ay. Oh, ya, take it lay, with your hunky lay, hey, ya, walk on your loyal, ay, 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 hey, hoy. With your hunky lay, hey, ya, walk on your loyal, ay, 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 hey, hoy. With your hunky lay, hey, ya, walk on your loyal, ay, 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 hey, ay. Oh, ya, take it lay, with your hunky lay, hey, ya, walk on your loyal, hey, 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 no, hey, yeah, hey, hey, yo, hey, 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 Good night. We'll see you guys all tomorrow at 3 o'clock Mountain Time on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Thanks to all of you for participating in today's edification. Ho ka hey. Good night and have a great rest of the night. Take care.